to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. If you would, take a hymnal and turn to page 139. Page 139. Let's everyone stand and everyone sing together at Calvary. All right, everyone sing now. Years have spent in vanity. Sing the second verse together now. By God's word at last my sin I learned, and I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul and glory turned to Calvary's mercy. There was great and grace was free. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty God that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty.
Welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. I want to say that it is good to see you this morning in the midst of chaotic times. A lot is going on in our land, amen. There is disease, there are politics, just racial diversity. There's all kinds of things taking place. But you know, the one thing that is sure and steadfast is our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our anchor this morning. And we're so very thankful that he's our anchor and that the anchor holds. That would have been great if we could hear that this morning, wouldn't it? But we're thankful for all the songs of the Lord that we can sing and we can glean from, and it's good to see the children's home with us this morning, and all of your smiling faces, and it's good to see everyone that's here this morning. What a blessing and joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. I'd like for us to remember a little Ryder Hancock in our prayers this morning, if we would. Got a phone call yesterday that He took a real bad fall from a scooter accident, and actually he had to go to the emergency room, and he suffered a concussion, and I believe his eyes were so dilated you couldn't tell what color they were, and I believe he's home. We do not know as far as how bad the concussion was. But when you take a fall and you can't tell your eye color, that's a pretty hard fall. And so this morning, we just want to take a moment when we pray to really emphasize and lift up little Ryder in our prayers to the fall that he took. And so let's pray for him and Miss Lauren and Rhett and the family concerning the fall that Ryder took. I do want to say, as far as Calvary and reopening Calvary, we're just going to continue to pause phase two, which would be Sunday school and the choir. We made that decision, the deacons and myself, last Sunday. We because of the increase of COVID-19, and the confirmed cases were, we're taking just really just, you know, we're just going to inform you as we watch the numbers. We're not really sure when we're going to open up phase two, make that decision. We can't make that decision, you know, based upon anything other than the news we receive, you know, because we want to make the right decision, and in all good confidence and in good conscience toward God, you know, we have to make that decision based upon, you know, what those numbers say. If the numbers are still climbing and things along those lines, we just do not feel good about opening more ministries of the church. We just don't feel good about that. And again, I want to say this. I'm not trying to say this pinpointing any person or any people, but in place of leadership, you can't make decisions based upon the theory of the COVID-19 is politically based or, you know, things like that. It may have something to do with it. But at the end of the day, in leadership, you have to look after the people and their safety and security. And so we're putting on pause phase two. And I believe the majority of you are all for that and your safety and ensuring that. So thank you for your patience. We love you and we care for you. And we will keep you up to speed on the ministries around the church. As of right now, we will continue Sunday morning services at 11 o'clock. And we will continue all three Facebook Live services so you can be in touch and in tune. But without any further ado, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And we have, I believe, a special song this morning, and or songs, perhaps. Do remember, at the end of the service, we'll collect tithes and offerings, and that will be at the entrances of the church. We will not pass the plate for sanitary reasons following the CDC guidelines. So remember that. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. 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 Let's just take a time out from all of the cares and concerns of the world, everything that the news is pushing out, and take a moment to enjoy the oasis of God and His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, the name that's above every name, we're thankful this morning that we could come to you even during chaotic times, times of uncertainty. But Lord, we can have inner certainty because we're in you, and in you we live and move and have our being. God, I pray that you would even protect us now as we congregate together from disease and sickness. God, we're not going to be people of fear nor live in fear. We'll continue to take all necessary steps of cleanliness. Lord, we've always done that, but probably now just a bit more advanced in those steps. And Lord, we do pray that you would heal and touch our nation and our land from all disease. God, we pray that you'd heal our land from the disease of sin. Father, we pray that you would move in a mighty way across our land. Touch our president, protect him, all those in authority, Lord. God, you know exactly what we're in need of. Help us to narrow our vision today, this moment, from all of life's circumstances into this very moment we're in now, this window of time, this 1 hour right here at Calvary Baptist Church, that we may absorb what you have, that we may have a little joy in this moment, that we may have a little happiness, a little break from the stress of the world, that we may hear from you. Again, a little oasis in this desert. This is your house. We're your people. Speak, Lord, for your servants heareth. And God, this morning, we do pray for Ryder, this fall that he took. Lord, we pray that you'll touch him and heal him. Touch his head, Lord, his brain, his whatever that may have been bruised or hurt. God, we pray that you would just apply your healing hand. And Lord, we pray that you would instruct Miss Lauren on how to take care of him and Rhett and the family. Oh, God, it didn't take you by surprise. Boys will be boys, and boys will take falls. We know this. We just pray that you'll have a great recovery. You continually guide that precious family. And Father, we do pray for all the other prayer requests and those on the prayer list. You know who needs what. We just lift them up to you as a whole. We pray that you'll be their shepherd like you always have and always will. We love you this morning, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
David's going to sing that song for us this morning, The Anchor Holds. But before he does, we've got a song for him. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear David, happy birthday to you. Praise the anchor hold.
By faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me, and the anchor holds, though the ship battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. But the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held in my hand, but I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. And the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen as I faced the raging sea, but the anchor holds in in spite of the storm. Now I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. Storms of my life, that's where my God proved his love for me. And the anchor still holds. Though the ship may be battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
I'm so thankful that the anchor holds, and I'm thankful this morning that we can come into his presence, whether it be here in our homes and with everything crazy going on in this world. It's so assuring and so settling and amazing that we can just come into his presence with this one breath, and he's right there to hear us and to be there for our needs and take care of us. So my prayer is this morning that you would just be able to slip into his presence and forget about all the crazy things going on around us.
In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Then I come to his presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere. In the Prince. through his love the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hours of distress. To give up in despair, to slip away and breathe his name, he will surely meet you there.
Enjoy the song service this morning. Say amen. 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 Again, we count it a joy and an honor to be here this morning, and probably more so in the day and times in which we live. And I wanted to make a recognition this morning that I have failed to do so. That I don't know if they're ready or not, but I don't intend on embarrassing them. But Miss Savannah Matt has her new baby here. Is he in position to be held up? Or oh, okay. Well, maybe at the end. That's okay. We don't want to disrupt him, but we'll wait toward the end of the service. I just wanted to recognize. Well, look at what I did. Look at what I did. And give us his name, Miss Savannah. There we go. Shane Joseph. What a blessing. What a blessing. Again, we're living in difficult days. And we're living in days of great trial and affliction of the soul, I would say. We're listening to, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm sure we all from time to time have tuned in to the media of some sorts to see what the latest is on the pandemic, what's coming down the pipeline as far as our economy, what's going on socially. And from time to time, I'm sure that we all have grown discouraged or at least have battled discouragement. I know we all have at some point in our lives, but what about recently or as of late? You don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but I wonder if anybody has been battling the bear of discouragement. And I say bear because bears are mean. discouragement. There are times when we all face discouragement. We all face that dark place where it's hard to crawl out of. And what does discouragement mean this morning? Well, the word discouragement, it means to lose heart. Discouragement means when your will to continue is broken. You know, that's a very scary place to be, especially when you have any kind of responsibilities in life, when that will is broken to continue. You know, you can continue when your will is broken. It's just hard to continue. There's another kind of element you deal with, and we're not dealing with that today, and that's depression. That's when you cannot go on. And that is a very bad place to be. But discouragement is when you lose heart. It's when your will's broken to continue. It means to lack confidence or enthusiasm. Discouragement. And with that said, I'd like to share you a story this morning out of the Old Testament. I know it's a familiar story. I'm sure everyone has heard about it. Some of you probably Sunday school teachers possibly have taught on it or shared it yourself. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, 1 Samuel 30, our text verse is going to be verse number 6. This is David when David was discouraged. 1 Samuel verse chapter number 30. And in just a moment, I do want to start reading from verse number 1 down through verse number 6. And verse number 6 will be in our text verse. Again, David was in a place of discouragement. His will was broken. He had loss of heart. He had loss of enthusiasm. And again, I want to say that these times we're facing, at least since March, has definitely been a time, a maxim of that in our country, where men and women and family members and friends, there has definitely been an increase on the loss of enthusiasm and confidence. There's been a lot of discouragement. In fact, there's been a lot of depression. A lot of people have been diagnosed clinically with depression, been prescribed medication. I'm definitely not knocking that. I am a believer in serotonin levels and how they can be an imbalance medically. And some people have to have that to be balanced. One time I watched a special on the brain, and the doctor said that there's serotonin levels in your brain, and it works like a drawbridge. And you know how a drawbridge, you can cross over a body of water. When the bridge is down, it's like this, and things are going well, cars are crossing. But when the drawbridge is up, you can't go nowhere. Well, if that's kind of like in your brain, when the drawbridge is up, things are wrong. Life is not good. And so sometimes in life, discouragement, depression, you're clinically diagnosed with this depression element. You have medication, perhaps, that allows the drawbridge to go down, and life is resuming. But this morning here in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, I want you to notice that David is returning back from battle. And he gets home, he gets back from battle, he's home at Ziklag, and he's devastated. He's devastated at what he finds at home. in the shape that everything's in, and he's discouraged. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and let's go down to verse number 6. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were in there, that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept, listen to this, until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been there before? You wept till you couldn't weep no more. No more weeping power. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Again, I want to call our attention to verse number 6, that last phrase. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's my title this morning, Encouraging Yourself in the Lord. Again, we all go through times of discouragement. We go through times where we lose our enthusiasm. And a couple days later, a few days, we're able to shake it off and go. There's a difference between that and depression. And I just want to talk about that part today. I'm not a doctor in the sense of clinically diagnosing anybody with depression. I just want to talk about the discouragement part. The part where you're possibly down, you're defeated, you're discouraged, and you know, you've lost your will to go on for a little while. Well, we see in these verses that was David. He was discouraged. He came home from battle and things were different. He was devastated, and he lost his will to go on. David lost heart, and he was broken. He lost confidence, and so he had a resolve. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And so this morning, encouraging yourself in the Lord. In fact, I want to give three pictures of David in this story. I see that there's three pictures found in this story in David's progression as he progressed out of his discouragement. As David encouraged himself in the Lord, there's three pictures involved. And I hope this morning the message will be a help to all of us. Number one, I want you to notice that in verse number 4, we see David the discouraged. David the discouraged. Notice with me in verse number 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. This is the picture of David the discouraged. The Bible says that David and the people that were with him, they lifted up their voice and they wept. Imagine that. They came home from battle, and they saw the way that things were, and they started to weep. And then they continued to weep, and they wept some more. And then when they thought they couldn't weep, they wept more until they could not weep anymore. It was all gone. I asked you a moment ago, have you ever done that? And some of you said yes. That is a tremendously broken heart to you when you weep till you can't weep no more. Very, very much so discouraged and broken. I want to say that David, number one, he was discouraged because Ziklag was burned. In verse 1, notice with me, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, his home place, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. His home place was burned, meaning his possessions, his home, his possessions was burned. He wept over that. And then if you notice again, that's found in verse number 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. I mean, what if you came home and you found out that your home was engulfed in flames, burned with fire? I remember one service at Floyd Road Baptist Church when Larry Brown came and preached, and he gave an illustration of one time when he came home after preaching, I don't know, a week's revival out of town. He said, man, he came home from he was going down his winding driveway, and he seen smoke clouds, and his house was engulfed in flames. I mean, I could not imagine that image. But here we have David, and he came home from a long battle, and he seen that Ziklag was burned. And the Bible says that Ziklag, it was smitten and burned with fire. The enemy had done that. Not only David was discouraged because Ziklag was burned, but David was discouraged because his family was taken. Notice verse number 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. How about that? David the discouraged. He was discouraged because his family was taken. And he wept over that. He wept over Ziklag being burned. His possessions were gone, and his people were gone. David the discouraged. But not only that, but in verse number 6, we see that David was discouraged because he was resented. Look at verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Why did his own people want to stone him? I'll tell you why. Because there was a time, one of many times, where David was fleeing from Saul, and he joined himself, or at least ran into the camp of the Philistines. And he was coupled with Achish. And so he was serving with the Philistines. And then he was actually exited from the army of the Philistines, and he was now on his way back to Ziklag. And when he came back to Ziklag, he found that his home was destroyed by the Amalekites. His wife was taken. His family was taken. And now his own people were like, hey, why are you back here? You were serving with the enemy. That's the kind of welcoming David received. And so we have all of these things taking place. David was discouraged because he was resented. And David was discouraged because his family was taken. David was discouraged because Ziklag was burned. And listen, you may be here this morning. I don't know what your circumstances are. It may be solely upon what's going on in our nation, or it may be something to do with your home place. I don't know. It may be something to do with your job. It may be something to do with you as an individual. It may have something to do with your possessions. It may be something to do with your marriage. I don't know. It may have nothing to do with anything I've said this morning. But the truth of the matter is, we all can agree on one thing. We have all faced discouragement at one point, sometime or the other. We see David, the discouraged. He was discouraged because of Ziklag. It was burned. He was discouraged because his family was taken. And he was discouraged because he was resented. There's a second picture of David I want to mention. Not only David the discouraged, but now we see David the resolved. Look in verse number 6. David the resolved. That last phrase in verse number 6, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I say right there, praise the Lord. He had all of these things working against him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Church, I want to say this morning, we have all of these things in the world working against us. Let this be said of us, but we encouraged ourselves in the Lord our God. This second picture of David shows his, not resolution, but resolve. What are we going to say about his, what can we say about his resolve? Well, I want to say about his resolve, number one, he responded the right way. Look at that first word in that last phrase, but. That says a whole lot in that one word. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Okay, right there, David could have been plotting what he was going to do against them. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. All right, David shouldn't have joined to the army of the Philistines. He shouldn't have done that. He came back home, they wanted to stone him. All right, that wasn't right either. David also could be getting together a plan against them, but he didn't do it. That first word is how David responded. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see the second picture of David here. When it comes to encouraging ourselves in the Lord, how he encouraged himself in the Lord has everything to do with how he responded. He responded the right way. What are you going through this morning? Are you discouraged this morning? If you are, your discouragement has everything to do with how you respond. If you're discouraged, it's important how you respond in your discouragement. It's so important that you respond the right way. Not only that, but notice this. He responded the right way, but he repaired himself. The Bible says, but David encouraged himself. Notice that. Not only he responded the right way, but he repaired himself. There was nobody else there to help David but David. But David encouraged himself. You know, there's times in life where you may have a close friend, a family member that's always there to help you or to help you in the Lord. There may be a mentor. There may be a pastor, a leader. I don't know. There may be someone always there that you can lean on for help. But there's times, and I'm going to assure you, in life, there will be times, at least there will be times where God providentially will line you up where there will be no one else there but himself to help you. There will be times in life where the training wheels have to come off the bicycle. Now, I want you to notice, he says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen, there was nobody there but David himself. I can reflect back over my life in the ministry, so far. I can reflect back over my life as a Christian so far. And there's been times where I've been to others who have helped me and I could go to pick up the phone, and there's others in place now, but there's also, and there has been times where nobody has been available. I mean, there's been times where I have been at Red Sea experiences where I've never been in a situation before like a current situation where I know nobody would understand because of the kind of tailor-made situation it was. And Red Sea stuff, Marah stuff, couldn't drink of the waters because they were bitter. Nobody to turn to, nowhere to go, discouraged. But it was then where I found out that I could reach within and find help. You see, the Lord may have positioned you where you're at for a purpose. I'm not saying the Lord is the author of where you're at, wherever you're at. But the Lord just may have allowed you to arrive where you're at the lonely place you're at, so that you might reach inwardly as opposed to outwardly, because you have someone on the inside that could help you more than the outside. Listen, I believe biblical counseling is necessary. I believe in the multitude of counselors, their safety, and all of that. But I do believe there are times where God shuts the doors, where you have to reach on the inside and get in your prayer closet and find help. Because there's going to be times where it's just you and there's no help to be found, and you are going to have to know how to survive on your own. The Bible says, but David, he responded the right way. But David encouraged himself. No one else around. Notice the third thing in this statement. His resource. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David didn't trust in chariots. He trusted in the Lord. David didn't trust. It wasn't in any kind of substance or ordinance, but or any kind of device. But David's trust and David's hope was in the Lord. Look, I'm not trying to stir up a big pot of something that isn't there. What I'm saying is, and what I'm getting to is, that David had a resolve here. He had a resource. But David encouraged himself, not in any kind of device, not in any kind of substance, not in any kind of chariot, as the Bible says in the Old Testament, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. It was in the Lord alone. David got alone. No one else was there. No one else was to be found. Just him and David. Question to you this morning is, what are you trusting in to get yourself through your time of encouragement? Are you waiting for this pandemic to flatten out? Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's kind of not fair. We're all in that same ship. But honestly, because I don't know when that's going to happen, church. And trust me, I've had to look that man in the mirror and ask that same question every single day. Because I've been receiving phone calls and getting updates, and I want them from friends and family. Because ultimately, I want church back. I want phase two to come back, phase three. But every time you turn the news on and listen, this thing is growing, it's getting bigger. But strangely enough, the death toll isn't climbing, as far as I know. And then you try to figure it out and balance it out and what's really going on. And next thing you know, you're in a tailspin and you're confused. And so what I say is just, you know, flip it on, flip it off. Get an idea of what's going on and stay in the book, stay in prayer. Do the best you can do. Use your brain. Use your common sense God gave you. do the best you can do and go on. But at the end of the day, what is our resource? Is it when the pandemic flattens out, we'll be okay and we won't be discouraged anymore? Or, regardless of the pandemic, regardless of the politics, regardless of the protesting, I am going to encourage myself in the Lord because my hope is in Jesus. If it gets worse, it's fine. If it gets better, it's fine. Because I have a family to raise. I have a life to live. And I'm going to rejoice in Jesus because he's coming back anyway. I think that's how I'm going to settle it. And if I have to do it hand to mouth, day in and day out, that's what I'm striving for. Some days I succeed at that. And some days I fail at it, Brother Allen. But you know what? That's how it has to be. One day at a time. And so we see that David, he has a resource in the Lord. We see he repaired himself, but David encouraged himself. We see he responded the right way, but David. And then I want you to notice we see his relationship here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Notice this, his God. What does he mean, his God? At this particular time in David's life, as he came back to Ziklag and found it torched and totaled, he found that his family was gone, and no doubt the people wanted to stone him and kill him. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. I believe that is showing us and telling us the kind of God that David actually had. It's reflecting over the course of David's life. It's telling us that David was reminiscing over the God that anointed him and called him to be king. It's showing us and telling us the kind of God that showed up when David was a shepherd boy. You remember that? When David was leading his little sheep, and a bear jumped out, and God energized him. Think about that. To protect his sheep from a bear, a lion. That's massive strength as a little shepherd boy. And then God gave him the ability and grace to slay Goliath with a stone. Amazing stuff. And then he cut off his head. You know, and then God used him in all the miraculous ways that he did and brought him safe thus far. And then now David is in this particular situation. Family's gone. Home is gone. And now his friends are against him. And the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. What he's saying is he is sitting down. And by way of encouraging himself, what he does is he is thinking about how faithful God has been. In church, what I want to do this morning, or wrap it up, in other words, is try to encourage you by you thinking about how good and faithful your God has been. David said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You want to know how to encourage yourself? You want to know how I encourage myself? I encourage myself in the Lord, my God. My God has been faithful to me. He reached way down and saved me. My God has been good to this bad boy. My God has been faithful to me when I haven't deserved it. My God has given me a great wife that has been keeping me in line at times. My God has been good to me and been faithful to feed me, giving me a place to sleep in and a roof over my head, shoes on my feet. God has parted the Red Seas in my life when I thought there was no way, he's made a way. That's how we encourage ourselves in the Lord. This morning we see that David had a resolve. And we see part of his resolve was his relationship. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. I want you to notice another thing as we wrap it up in just a few moments. Three pictures of David this morning. Keep in mind, we're talking about the subject of encouraging yourself in the Lord. And we're looking at three pictures of David. David the discouraged. David the resolved. Lastly, David the recovered. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. David the recovered. Or David's recovery. David made a full recovery. Praise the Lord. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all." How about that? David made a full recovery. And I want to say that I believe everything hinged upon the fact that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You know, sometimes God allows us, or at least it seems as though we are positioned in a particular dark place, discouraged, no one to reach out to. It almost doesn't seem fair, but somehow, some way, it seems as though God has allowed us to be in a place of darkness. But I want you to just think for a moment, could it be God is wanting us to reach inwardly to Him so that we can be encouraged and learn how to experience resurrecting power and learn how to resurrect from our situation and experience His power in the newness of life, and to learn how to make a full recovery from such a pitiful situation in life. That's what David did. David, he was discouraged. He had a resolve, and then he recovered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You this morning, Lord. We didn't come this morning, Lord, with an hour expositional sermon. We don't come with a have-to mentality. We just wanted to come to try to be a help, a blessing. Lord, I pray that if someone's heart was touched by something that was said, Lord, please let them know that these altars are open and they can come publicly and pray. But, Lord, this isn't the only place to pray. They can pray where they're at. They can pray at home. This is just a great place to do so at the very moment they feel so. Because, Lord, we know that when we put things off, the urges go away. But I am thankful, Lord, for Your people who's come out, Lord, today. We love You. We thank You. Do business in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand to